This week's interview is with Hansi Kirsch of Blind Guardian. And Hansi, my first question for you is, what does Blind Guardian currently have going on? And what are you guys currently doing right now?
We just finished the major part of touring for Beyond the Red Mirror. We did some additional shows, you know, in teasing the Imaginations album again. But right now, we're in the studio doing the mixing for the live album, which we have announced a while ago. I suppose we will be able to release somewhere in the summer of 2017. It looks pretty promising, but it's still a lot to do, you know. It's a lot of listening to the same stuff over and over again and trying to get the best result out of the sounding.
Now, in the last tour, you did the Imaginations from the Other Side album in its entirety, and what was really cool about that album in particular is that you did a really, really good remix of that in A Night at the Opera and a few others way back, you know, a few years back now. And when you go back and listen to those, do you ever go back and listen to them, and are you pretty happy with the results? Because I really think that those albums turned out absolutely amazing the way you guys remix those, especially Night at the Opera and Imaginations.
I have to admit that I would have to do a re-listening session now to really say how good the result is. I haven't heard back the stuff ever since we finished the Memories of a Time to Come sessions, because there was so much mixing and so much work involved into that afterwards, you know, I gave up listening to it for a while. And when I did my rehearsals for the Imaginations shows, I was listening to a different version, so I really do not have in mind if it is well done or not, I have to admit. In general, the sessions were very demanding, and of course when we go back to an album like this, we put a lot of effort in, you know, making something at least as good as the album has been 20 years ago. Plus, considering that Flemming Rasmussen is a top-notch producer, so we better did a great job back then when we did the remixing. I'm pretty confident it will sound at least as good. When Flemming did the mixing in 1995, the philosophy and ideology of mixing such an album was quite different than it would be nowadays. And when Charlie Bauerfeind did his interpretation of the mixing, he of course tried to please the spirit of nowadays mixing ideology. So I would assume, even though, as said, I haven't heard back the album for quite a long time, that the spirit is a little more fresh and modern.
So the new live album that you have coming out, is this going to be like an audio CD, you know, audio only? Is it going to be like a video? And talk about the upcoming live album that you mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the interview.
Well, basically that will be a pure audio output. That's what I'm saying today. You know, it might change tomorrow. We still have some time before we have to make a final decision. We are moving backwards and forwards with regard to that, because we did a lot of filming and we did a lot of recordings, but the audio output is so strong, it does not necessarily need any visual content, so we may split that completely from this live album release. And right now I tend to, you know, release that as a double live album featuring songs from our 2015 European tour in general. We recorded all the shows, all the American shows. We recorded most of the South American shows, but we in general had the the best recording facilities when we did our touring in Europe 2015. So that's the reason why we keep our focus mainly on these shows. And we did control all the stuff over and over again to pick up the 20 best pieces we could find. And I believe we finally made a decision to, you know, go for 20 shows out of this season. It will be reflecting the whole career of Blind Guardian. So there will be some songs from Beyond the Red Mirror, but there also will be songs from Battalion Sophia. It will be a good success of what we did in 2003, that's for sure. For the visual material, that's mainly related to our Wagner appearances. I'm working on the edit of the visual material there, and this might be released as an external DVD later, but I could also see that we just keep that for a later regular album release of Blind Guardian, and then having that as a additional bonus with it. I don't know, but I don't see that for the live album right now. We also did some filming when we did the European touring. There will be some additional features, maybe be it on the internet or via TV shows, where you will be able to see some of the stuff we did back then.
Now, you brought Gravedigger on a recent tour through the U.S., and you guys did tour with them for a good amount of time the past couple of years. And talk about the decision to bring them along, because I thought they fit great on the bill. And I know you guys have been friends for a very long time. And talk about touring with Gravedigger a little bit.
We have had that idea quite a few times, even for Europe. And it never came to happen because they had a different timing schedule than ours, or at the very end, something was, you know, in between that decision. So when we were looking for a potentially good act to accompany us on the North American tour, Gravedigger has been available. And luckily, we got that opportunity, which we have had in mind so many times before. We have a long-term relationship, a very close relationship. I did do some backing vocal singing for them. I joined them when they played Wacken some years back. And it is one of the most valuated metal, power metal bands in Germany, and they are one of the oldest bands in business, to say so. They started in the very early 80s, and it was about the time for them to come over to North America and play in front of their American fans. So when we did that, when we did announce these shows, you could already feel that there was a big demand for them coming over to the U.S. And it paid back. We had a lot of people coming to these shows, and the people absolutely loved both bands playing. Every night went very smooth, and I just saw happy faces, to say so, within the production company, within the bands, within the audience. You know, everyone loved the spirit and the atmosphere during that shows, because they know how to celebrate the party, and they were the perfect band to join us. So it was a logical decision when we decided to go for a second run in North America that Gravedigger would be at our side again. And again, it was a complete success. They are very easy to get along people. They have a very professional feeling of, you know, what is possible and what would appear impossible at some stages. And, you know, they are doing their job. They are a great band, and I like to have them around. And I'm pretty sure it was not the last time we will be on the road with them.
Now, talk about Noise Records a little bit, because you did a foreword on the upcoming book by David Gehlke called Damn the Machine, and you talked about how important Noise Records really was. And for those people that don't know, Noise Records was a band like, or I'm sorry, was a label like Metal Blade, where they were very, very important, especially for the European metal scene. And talk about the importance of that label and the impact that it had on you.
Yeah, maybe the easiest is really to start with the way the label attracted us when we started our career. It was the label we wanted to have a deal with, because they were the strongest German label. They were the label with the potentially best bands around, and we wanted to be amongst them. Unfortunately, it never came to that, by different reasons. When we started, Noise was not interested, because they have had so many other great bands in the ballpark. They did not pay attention, in first case, to Blind Guardian, so that was bad luck for them. And I would have loved to have a deal with Noise Records back then, so that already says something about the reputation they have had back then. When I was, you know, just a pure metal kid, to say so, they were the ones releasing the potentially best bands around, like Halloween or Running Wild, to just name two German metal icons, which, you know, are still making a big buzz and already did back then. But it was for Noise that the whole scene in Germany seemed to explode, because when they started to release bands like the mentioned ones, the record stores finally became aware of the metal movement and started to distribute records throughout all the cities in Europe, and particularly in Germany. Before that, it was quite difficult to get the real stuff. I, for myself, had to travel to the Netherlands, because there were like two shops, you know, distributing metal records. It was quite an adventure to get the good stuff, and this changed because of Noise pioneer work in Germany and all over Europe.
Noise Records really jump-started so many different bands though, that are still around, like Creator, Halloween, you have Running Wild still doing their thing, you have Rage, Gravedigger, just, you know, Scanner. I mean, you have a lot of bands that are still around that started out on Noise, and it's interesting now that Noise was the label that jump-started the careers of these bands, and they're still doing a lot of great stuff today.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of bands, you know, still around. For instance, Creator just released an album some days or weeks ago, and I was just told they entered the German charts on number one. So they're still around. And it proves that Karl Walterbach, who has been in charge for Noise, has had a very good hand even back then. Yeah, but, you know, needless to mention Halloween again. I mean, they had such a strong movement in the middle of the 80s. It was so impressive to see, and Noise really, even as an independent label, had the abilities to go along with such a band and to maintain that success.
On your tour, the last time you were here, I mean, there were a lot of people at your shows. I mean, you had a lot of people show up to see Blind Guardian play live. And, you know, what's interesting is that back in when I first had you on the show, nobody really knew about you over here. So, you know, talk about what it's like now. You know, how do you compare what it's like to tour the U.S. now as compared to when you first came over here to play?
I think that the States and Canada are still the most developing markets. strange to say so, we're around for more than 30 years, and you know, still there is a sensation amongst the metal fans in North America, which maybe can be explained by the simple reason that this music was, you know, not available for most of the 90s and probably the beginning of the 21st century, or it was tougher for, you know, kids to get the stuff over there. For us, the success story in the States just started started, as you mentioned, with Nightfall in Middle Earth. Up to that point, we have been an established band in South America and in Europe and in Asia, but no one in the States really had an idea what Blind Guardian was about. This has changed over the years, and when we came to the States first in 2002, I think it was, I could feel that the people still were coming from a different point of, you know, entertainment, you know, and people seemed to be fed up at that point. When we played, it was quite difficult to, you know, get the audience moved. We were used, you know, to be an established band in Europe, and every show we have had was like a big party, you know. Obviously, the number of people showing up was smaller as well, but that was not the point. The point was really the audience expected more coming from stage than to be a part of the event, and this has changed completely. Nowadays, I think the Northern American fans and the fans in the States in particular have built such a strong relationship with Blind Guardian. For me, it makes no difference if I play in Europe nowadays or in the States. The people are so passionate and so grateful. It is really a pleasure to see how they nowadays live, I'd say, the Blind Guardian universe.
Well, it seems in the last 15 years since you guys, you know, first came over here, you really have developed a pretty good fan base over here now in the U.S.
Oh, yes, we did. And as I said, I think the awareness of how Blind Guardian as a system works is perfect in the States. The way the people consider us is just brilliant. It's how can I say that? It's a sort of spiritual thing. It's a sort of philosophical thing, and people have to deal a lot of times with, you know, the subject Blind Guardian to really get into it. And I can feel the passion of people in the States to, you know, become real pundits.
Well, here's something I've been asking a lot of people about, because it seems to be a trend now in the music business itself. But every press release, everything that gets sent to me, every new release that gets basically gets promoted, there's always a vinyl version of the album. And, you know, obviously labels wouldn't be doing that if they weren't selling it. And, you know, what do you think of that? Because it actually has helped record sales in some ways. And what do you think of bands, you know, basically releasing albums on vinyl now and labels doing that? And, you know, do you think there's a future in that?
Vinyl still has another attraction. It never went away for me. I always kept my vinyl collection and bought vinyl stuff whenever there was a chance. I still have a pretty decent turntable system running, and I'm happy to see that there is a sort of renaissance for this way of consuming music, because I still think it has a completely different approach and atmosphere than listening to CD or listening to music digital. So I appreciate it a lot. I also think the experience to buy vinyl, to have, you know, such a big physical item in hand, is something which probably attracts people more than the regular CD does. We can discuss the quality of vinyl sounding and CD sounding. I think they both have their advantages, but for me, vinyl is a little more personal. It has a little more spirit than any digital output source. I believe it is a blessing for the people, for the band, for the professionals, that at least you can compensate a little bit of the decreasing sales in CDs nowadays. So that certainly helps bands to survive. It cannot cover what goes away by streaming and, you know, however people are listening to music nowadays. Bands depend on the physical sales, because with streaming, etc., there's hardly any money we can make, to say so. Mm-hmm. It's the rate is too small. It is, as some artist mentioned already, you have to, get 200 times the streaming rate to compensate one sold album. And you can imagine how many less albums you sell due to streaming rates. It's a lot. So the physical sales of vinyl definitely help. I'm not sure if it is the new way things will go, or if it's just a sort of trend which will disappear again. I doubt it will, because I really think that the people buying vinyl are the ones who have decided that for them the physical product still is the only real thing to consume music.
Well, and that's the thing that's great, is vinyl does have a really great quality to it, but you have to make sure that it's mastered by somebody that knows how to master something to vinyl, because the mastering process is a little bit different.
Exactly. That is one of the points. You're right there.
So do you have a release date for the live album that you're working on currently?
I'm daring to say that's going to be released in June or July of this year. We still are in the final movements of the mixing. We afterwards have to master the whole thing. And as you mentioned, we still have to consider what to do for the vinyl version, because, just putting it out without, really paying attention to the demands vinyl output requires would be a waste. So we still have to do some work. That's what I'm trying to say. But I believe it's going to be released in June, July. It's going to be a double live CD. We may have a collector's item with either some visual output or a sort of bootleg of one of the shows we have played. We have to discuss that. Both would be options. Well, and basically we still have to work on all the booklet stuff and the front cover.
Ian Lucassen of Arion is probably my favorite musician of all time. And, it's great to be able to hear you, because you are one of my favorite singers out there, to hear you singing on Arion, on the new Arion album. It's great to hear that you're singing on it. And you did sing on another one as well. And, Ian Lucassen does a great job at writing music for so many different types of vocalists. And, what's it like to work with him? And talk a bit about the new Arion album that you sang on.
Well, you brought it to the point. He has the ability, and not many musicians do have that, to write music for vocalists. He really pays attention to, what is the style of a certain vocalist and how can I weave him into my universe. He did great on the first album I worked on, but I think for me personally, he even did a better job on the new album. I just have a few spots, because my time frame is quite demanding, and I would not be able to spend much more time on a project by someone else. But I enjoyed every second, and what I heard so far, I haven't heard everything. It's going to be one of the best albums he has done so far. He's a multi-instrumentalist, and his ability to switch moods within a song is beyond imaginations. It's a real rare quality. His approach to music I love a lot. He has a strong ability to build up dynamics, which in many other songwriters or is a minor quality of many other songwriters. He really is in top-notch condition there.
So is the band working on anything else? Are you working on any type of new songs, any other projects? And, you know, what other stuff is Blind Guardian working on besides the live album?
I have to start with a never-ending story again. At the same time we're doing the mixing for the live album here, we're also working on the orchestral project, which we have announced so many times before. This is the next big mission. We did most of the orchestral recordings already, and I am more or less about to start singing, but I'm saying that for more than 2 months already, because I'm just waiting to finish the live album, and once that is accomplished, I'm the next one who's going to be involved in, you know, in the recordings of the orchestral album. And this probably takes most of the year 2017 away from me, but I'm pretty positive that I will be able to finish singing within the year, and then basically we just would have to do the mixing for the orchestral album before it's going to be released. And I'm still planning a release for that album in 2018. That is one thing. And then of course, since André is not so much involved in the orchestral songwriting anymore, he has started working on new Blind Guardian songs already. We have finished two new songs, and we also are working on a third song. Basically, it's the typical Blind Guardian stuff. We're going freestyle. You can still, since these are fresh songwriting pieces, not too far away from Beyond the Red Mirror, they still capture a little of that spirit musically, but they have a new form of expression. They are a little more aggressive, I would say, and I'm anxious to see where the road is going to lead us this time.
Well, you know, I've always considered André Ulbrich one of the best guitar players in heavy metal, and one of the most underrated guitar players, because not many people really talk about him too much, but, you know, he's an outstanding musician and an outstanding live performer, and you just never hear his name mentioned, unfortunately, and I think that's a shame, because I think André is an outstanding musician.
Yeah, he is, and you described him perfectly well, but he also is a very cool guy, and even if it is, like you said, that he's not mentioned too many times, he does not really care. He doesn't care at all, I would say. He's doing his own thing, and I think this is what is making him so special. He knows about his qualities, but he is a very down-to-himself character, which, you know, loves to, you know, just play around music and, you know, cooking his own soup, we would say. He, you know, he doesn't care for anything. As long as he can be creative and, you know, as long as we are successful as a band, he doesn't care.
Now, the orchestra album you guys are working on, you know, go into a little bit, you know, what kind of details can you give us about that? I mean, is it going to be all original Blind Guardian songs? Are you reworking some of the old songs and maybe doing a classical music type thing with it? And what kind of details can you give us on that?
The orchestral album will feature just new songs. They will be Blind Guardian songs, let's say musically something in between Nightfall in Middle Earth and Wheel of Time, you can say, or Beyond the Red Mirror, The Ninth Wave. It doesn't matter. There will be no band involvement. It will be just classical orchestra playing, and I will do most or all of the singing that we have not decided completely yet. It will be conceptual. It's something we started 20 years ago. I personally believe it will deliver some of the most beautiful pieces in music we have written so far. It is a quality product. It's something you have never heard before, because there was nothing like this before. And it may take a while until you will hear something like this. So hopefully, and I really mean it, we are going to reveal this one within the next year.
Well, Hansi, as I have asked you previously, and as I ask every band, do you have any last words to say to any of the fans that are going to be listening to this? And even to the fans in Cleveland that came out to the show at the House of Blues to come see you guys play.
Yeah, in general, I have to say that we depend on you. There's no doubt about that. We depend on radio stations. We depend on people listening to music. We depend on people willing to spend money for live shows, willing to, you know, understand that music is a passion, but it's also a profession for us. And without fans, and I literally mean it, we would be nothing. And for our friends from Cleveland, I have to say, you have made us very happy when we met you last year. It has been a superb show, and I can assure you that once we come back to the States, we will not leave out Cleveland.